Well, those of you who I did not get to see on Sunday that I get to see tonight, it's good to see you. I understand that there were, I know a lot of others would have come if that weather hadn't really shifted on us. And it's okay. It's winter time. And we have to expect it. We had a great time in Eastlake. Really had a tremendous response and move of God at the end. Really during the whole service. I was very excited and thankful the way the church responded to what I feel like the Lord had given me for them. And I heard, you know, I've heard nothing but good things about Bishop Nichols' message here on Sunday. It might not have been what you wanted, I don't know, but it doesn't matter. It's what about what we need, what God is doing. He'll be back with us at the end of January. I texted Brother Harpool. He texted me, and he said that he'll be calling me this weekend. So we're going to continue to plow forward, and the Lord's going to help us. Amen. Everybody can say amen. I'm going to, I might just talk with you tonight. I don't know. We'll see. I might preach. I'm not really sure. But I do want to share with you what I feel the Lord wants me to share. However, it comes in context, maybe a different story. Matthew 27 and 27, and they don't have anything back there, so don't worry about it. We'll give you a moment to catch up. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. I want us to pray before we finish reading. So if you'd pray for us.
For all of those that are tuning in online, Lord, I ask that you just reach each and every one of us through the word tonight, Lord. God, use Pastor as you see fit for tonight's message, Lord. God, however it needs to fall, let it fall that exact way, Lord. God, I ask that you just be with the children next door today, Lord. God, use Brother Jerome, Lord, to just teach them the word of God, Lord. God, be with us in the service tonight, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Let me talk for a couple minutes on the topic, the importance of the interruption. They took Jesus into the common hall, and the Bible says they stripped him and they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe from off of him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. Luke says it this way in that last verse, and they led him away, and they laid hold upon one Simon a Cyrenian coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. This interruption that Simon was dealing with followed this horrific process of the scourging. The Bible says they stripped him. They adorned him with the scarlet robe, which was for mockery. They put on a crown of thorns, and they mocked him more. They spit on him. They struck him with the reed, and they mocked him more. And I would suggest to you tonight that this is all indicative of the ringer that life takes us through often. So to paint a picture for you, sometimes you just feel like everything goes against you. You feel like everything falls apart. Sometimes you just feel like you've gone through the ringer, you've been beat up, spit upon, stepped upon, beat up again, spit upon more, and you just feel flat worn out. Unless you think you're a superhero, nobody is built to withstand the trials and the hardships of life. God did not build us to withstand them alone. We like to boast sometimes about how strong we are. We like to brag about how much little sleep we're running on. And we even brag about sometimes how crazy and hectic our schedules are, but those things really are not bragging rights, or they shouldn't be. Because oftentimes we're allowing life on top of everything else to run us through a ringer that that in some cases we might not have to deal with. What I'm saying is there's enough problems in life. Yesterday I had two major issues that came upon me, and they both just had me completely sick to my stomach all day through the night. I couldn't shake it. Woke up this morning, and the moment I started thinking about it, it just made me sick again. And those things, we learn to cope, but coping is not overcoming. Coping is not relief. Coping is not rest, the rest that God gives us. Coping is only our way of dealing with things. Now, this is difficult to try and, at least for me, I say always, to try and put into context in a manner that I want you to be able to receive it and to paint an accurate picture. So I'll just say it again to be repetitive. Life sometimes just overwhelms you. And I want to say to your credit, don't be ashamed if you don't feel like you can make it. Don't be ashamed if you don't feel like you can weather this thing or this storm, because you're not supposed to weather it by yourself. The problem is that I have preached for a long time is we are built with a flight or fight mode in us. It's in our DNA. And you will either be one that fights or you will be one that flights. You'll either get a second wind and you'll come out of your circumstance swinging at some point, or it will completely shove you into a hole in the ground and you'll pull the dirt back in on top of yourself and you will go into hibernation. Now, that's not one person. That's many. We've got people that are not here tonight, not because of the weather, but because of things in their life, and they're distancing themselves from the body. In some cases, it's because of sin. And in order to fulfill the lust of the flesh, you have to separate yourself from the body. And that comes in ways. What people normally do is they begin to accuse the church of being judgmental, when in reality, that's really not the truth. There may be individuals sometimes that are judgmental, but that's not the church. But what Satan does is he paints this picture of this horrible church in order to get you to justify your sin and or you're separating yourself from the body. Now, if you think, well, you're you're preaching at me. Why don't you just call me out? Well, because I'm not preaching at anybody. They asked me what I was preaching. I said, I don't know. I felt the Lord give me this scripture. I said, okay, God, I'll write it down, and then we'll take it where it needs to be. My point is, we have fight or we have flight in us. Now, we've kind of turned the temperature way down. Just really, we're competing with the weather outside. The damper that it's putting, so you kind of feel that mood in here. And so it creates an opportunity sometimes just to bring the focus back to us. Because the reason I'm preaching this is because we don't put the focus on ourselves enough. If you're a true child of God, you'll always have a greater interest in the welfare of others than you will yourself. That is a handicap of ours. It's noble, but sometimes you got to take time to be ministered to yourself. And if you go into the flight mode, what you're doing is you're omitting those opportunities in your life where God can help you and heal you and strengthen you. So let me explain to you how this works. You go through life, there's two scenarios. There is the one that's going through the scourging. They feel like they've been stepped on, spit on, hair pulled, hair yanked, you know, thrown down, picked up, mocked, whatever you want to call it. And they're just flat out worn. The problem is, you still have a cross that you have to carry. The Bible tells us that we are to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Everybody's cross looks different. I can't tell you what your cross looks like. I might be able to if we have a one-on-one conversation. But the point is, you have a cross to bear if you are a Christian. But the problem is, when you go through those times in your life, that cross gets too heavy. Those are the moments where people, they think about quitting. What they don't understand is because they're carrying the weight of their cross and they're carrying the weight of their circumstance. And God did not design us to carry both. And so people become overwhelmed. Scripture says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Take me above my situation. Take me above my circumstance. But God can't. Can you get my towel for me, Kevin, please? But God can't do that. He can't take you above your circumstance if you don't let him in. Now, let me just kind of dumb that down for you for a minute. Thank you. Sometimes letting him in means letting him send somebody into your life. Now, I'm going to take this further. I'm going to pick it apart, so just hang on with me. So Jesus comes out of the scourging. He still must carry his cross to Golgotha. And eventually his body collapses under the weight of it. The Lord Jesus himself came to a point in his life where he could not carry the weight of his own cross. It was his desire, it was his intention, but his body just gave out because of the circumstances that he had just come out of. And as God would have it, this man Simon is walking by. I love Simon because the Bible proves to you that you can be voluntold. The Bible proves to us that you don't always have to be willing. That you don't always have to have a desire to do something. You don't always have to feel this burning passion. Sometimes there comes a moment in our lives where God wants to interrupt one person so you can carry the cross of another person. And so the importance of the interruption is greater than what we will allow ourselves to understand and realize, because there's a lot of things at play. Number one, Jesus could have been stubborn and he could have said, no, I'll carry it myself. He could have done that. He could have even tried. But he knew he wasn't capable and he wasn't prideful. You say prideful? Why would he be prideful? Well, I don't know. I mean, God robes himself in flesh and he comes into this life in order to fulfill something that no other man could fulfill, because he is love, and because he loved us so much, no greater love hath this than a man would lay down his life for a friend. It's very easily conceivable that Jesus would have rather finished that journey by himself. This was his mandate. It was his divine calling since the beginning of creation. But he was also, as Christ, wise enough to understand, A, not only can I carry this, but B, I've got to let somebody else carry it. Now that's where we fail as humans and as the church, because many times we refuse, because of pride, to let somebody else in to carry our cross at the most crucial times of our lives. And I'm here to tell you over and over and over again, God did not purpose or design us to carry the weight of our life and the weight of our cross at the same time, because sometimes it gets to be too much for our human body, for our nature. It doesn't matter how much you love Jesus. It doesn't matter how committed you are. It doesn't matter how serious about this thing you are. Eventually, your body will give out. Your mind will become so overwhelmed that you will want to run into hiding, and God will never be able to bring that Simon into your life. But you got to let him in. You got to let Simon in. You got to let Simon, well, I just don't like to put my problems on other people. If you're going to serve God, you got to get used to it. But the other part of that is the church has to do better at understanding the importance of interruptions in your lives. The thing about pastoring is no day is the same, even though every day seems the same. Every day can throw you a curveball, or it can just be a nice, mild, good, calm, collective day. You never know. Sister Marcia, I want to say how happy I was to see you back there tonight. But I was on the treadmill, and I just finished up, and I picked up my phone, I looked, and I saw the message. And when I saw it, my heart sunk. I don't remember what I had planned that day, but there was an interruption. And then God wanted me and my wife to come and at least hold your cross for you for a little bit. But it takes a church. If you hear nothing else I say, I hope that you'll hear this tonight. If we're going to grow, if we're going to move forward as a church, we've got to be willing to be interrupted. We've got to be willing to be interrupted. Life does not have a schedule. Life does not have a clock. Life does not march at the beat of its own, because life happens. Because someday, somewhere, somebody is ready to buckle under the weight of everything they have endured, and they can't carry that cross today. God will send a Simon, but you've got to be willing to be a Simon. See, there's two parts to this equation, and that's why it's hard to really put into perspective. I'm talking to those of you that won't let Simon help you, and I'm talking to those of you that won't be a Simon because you're too busy. If the church is going to survive, the church has got to get used to taking care of each other. Brother Fred sent me a picture a couple months back. And it had something to do, this Amish family's home burned down. And it wasn't, I don't think, days later. My timeline might be a little off. But he texted me and he said, my God, you should see it. No, he might not have used the exact words I'm giving, just in case you want to pick it apart. He said, There's Amish everywhere, and they've already got it framed up, and they're already rebuilding the house. I don't know what their schedule was that week, but a tragedy had fallen, and they have a system of taking care of each other. The church has to be willing to be a Simon. You've got to be willing to interrupt your day, to interrupt your schedule, whatever it might be. We have been on getting ready for vacation and got calls for people that died. I've been on vacation and got calls for people that died. We've had plans and got calls that somebody went into the hospital and is not looking good. I've told pastors, I've told them, I need a wet wipe or something, I'm bleeding. I've told new pastors, I said, listen, when somebody goes to the hospital and they flatline, you can't say I'll make it as long as the weather's okay. You better get in your vehicle and you better find a way to get there, because this is the most important moment in that person's life. And they're going to remember the pastor that showed up by their bedside in the hospital. Now, I'm going to be the first to tell you, Bishop Nichols told me probably 6-7 years ago, he said, you got to stop going to every hospital visit. He said, you can't do it. He said, it's not conceivable. The church can't grow beyond that. And he said, you need to only go. So I don't go to everyone anymore. And I tell people, listen, we have others that come. I mean, I don't know how much you want me to multiply myself, but if we send somebody, that should be like me coming. Thank you. Because I call people, hey, can you go see this person? Can you go visit them? They're in the hospital, this, that. And then I know we got others that do that now and send out email links and all those things. But the church has to change. Now, I know we do a good job, but I'm here tonight to tell you that there are two types of people right now in this building. There are those that cannot carry their cross this week. And if you are spiritually sensitive, the Holy Ghost should be able to interrupt your schedule, your plans, no matter what you got going on, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter how wonderful or how Simon, I don't know what the man had planned that day. He was on his way to Jerusalem. We know that. We know that he was just passing through. He didn't plan for it. We cannot even really see any scripture that he knew well who Jesus was. They compelled him because God often steps in with unexpected assignments. We'll never be the church that God wants us to be, and you'll never be the Christian. Listen, I'm going to talk to you ladies just for one moment. I'm going to just talk to you just for a second. There are times where your little coffee date doesn't matter. I'm just going to say it. There are times where it doesn't matter if you had planned to go shopping. There are times when somebody, because you know why this is so important? Because one day you'll be there. I said here just a month or so back, there are people in this building, we were with you during the worst moments of your life. I have a question. Have you done the same for somebody else during the worst moments of their life? Or have you just forgotten about it because you were taken care of? I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just being honest that we have to become a church that is willing to step in and carry somebody's cross. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're not accustomed with that, you'll never know the feeling of true ministry until you step into somebody's life when they're hurting and when they're wounded, when they've been stripped, they've been mocked, they've been beaten, and they've even buckled under the pressure and the weight of their cross, for you to step in and pick that cross up. Now you say, well, how does that look? I don't know. Every situation is different. I remember when Mikey Theodore died in that car accident. I'll never get credit. But I almost abandoned my family for 4 days. And I was out there every day, stayed with them in that home all day long. Because I called my pastor on the way out there the day it happened. And I said, help. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. He said, people will never remember what you say and what you do, but they will remember that you were there. And sometimes just being present is picking the cross up. Just being available. You see, the blessing of ministry is it's unique because it doesn't always require sacrifice in the strictest terms. Sometimes it just requires genuine love. You love somebody enough that I cannot see them doing this by themselves today. And whatever I have to do, I'll never forget, never, ever, ever. I've shared this with you before, but I will still never forget. When I was, it wasn't nothing big. There was nobody was hurting. No one was in the hospital, but I was lugging almost 30 kids back and forth to youth group every Friday when I was a youth leader. We church didn't have a van. I used my car. I made 3 trips to Cleveland and back to Parma every Friday. I eventually bought my own 12-passenger van because the church didn't have a van. Because I wanted people. I wanted those kids in church. And I'll never forget the night I called somebody up and I said, hey, can you help me tonight get these kids here? And I'll never forget what he said to me. I would, but we got plans to go to the movies. Now, you can think whatever you want. But I'm going to tell you, that response right there, whichever way it goes, is the difference between a church that will grow and a church that will slowly just keep shrinking over time. And can you pause my audio for one moment? Tell me when it's paused. I just don't want this on recording. Are you bored? You can get ready to play for me if you don't mind, honey. We were still living in Parma. We weren't out here. Man, it could have been a couple months. I'm working a full-time job. I remember that phone ringing. Listen to me. Do not call me in the middle of the night or I will kill you. Metaphorically speaking. If it's not a dire emergency. Because when my phone rings, my heart jumps and I grab it. Because normally if it's a late night phone call, there's a tragedy. And I remember that call. I was starting a job the next morning, a new job. And a lady who was, I don't know, I mean, is anybody here that was here the first other than Terry? Sis Parsons was one of our original members. It was Sis and Dreema were sisters. Dreema passed away when we started building this building. Sis passed away way back in the very beginning. Hector came because of Sis and Dreema. And Dreema was in the hospital, and they said she probably wasn't going to live. I had to get up. I had to drive from Parma out to Youngstown, sat there in the hospital with her, go home, jump in a shower, and go to work. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying sometimes that's the cross. How many times did Jesus try to catch a nap when people showed up at his door? What I'm hoping, and I'm coming to a close, but what I'm hoping we can do is birth something in the spirit, a deeper, stronger, more personal desire to be the Simon. Now, again, I want to say to those of you who you might be the one carrying that cross, you got to let Simon in. I've knocked on doors. People kept me outside. Wouldn't even open the door for me because they were in such a hole. I've stood outside doors, and I said, I'll be here. I'm going to sit right down here in the hallway of your apartment, and I'll wait until you open the door. I wouldn't do that anymore. I'd leave. If you don't want me to try and help you, I'm not going to beg you. And that's not a criticism. I'm just speaking honestly. Our world is so hurt. I don't know that we really grasp the magnitude of the pain and the suffering that's in our world. And if our heart, if we'll let God change our heart as a congregation, if we'll let God change our heart, and you might say, well, I think I'm already there. Ask him to make sure. You won't have to worry about church growth because God knows that he can trust those people with us. He knows he can trust them with us. We don't yell at new believers. I've kind of taken a detour for a moment, but we don't get mad at them for taking our seat. We don't get upset because we got to go pick them up in the snow. No, we understand that this is what Jesus would do. And if everybody takes a personal interest, if everybody takes one day, you say, well, what's that got to do with all this? Everything. There are people out there that are, they have collapsed under the weight of their cross. If you'll be just serious and take one afternoon, husband and wife can do it together, and just drive around, stuff paper boxes, put them indoors. Well, it's cold outside. Hell's hot. God, you pray over these. God will make sure they go to the ones who cannot carry their cross, and they're going. You know, I remember Floyd telling me, this is Kristen and Caitlin's dad. When they came because somebody sent an invitation. Now, I'm going to say this right from the pulpit, girls. I hope you still love me afterwards. Have you mailed any random invitations to anybody? Don't answer me out loud. If not, you should be going home and finding a phone book tomorrow, because you're here because of a random invitation. Now, I'm not saying you haven't, but if you haven't, you should not let December 21st or 2nd, 1st, you should not let that day come close without taking 50 of these and mailing them out or dropping them off. Because you're here because of that. You're here because somebody took time to just open a phone book. That's what they did. And just shot them out. And Floyd told me, when they came, he said he'd been praying. They were going to that Journey Church in Jefferson, which I hear is closed now. I don't know what happened to it. And he said, I just knew there's more. And he said, I told God, he said, God, you got to send me a dove. Now, that's the way he worded it. And no, my wife didn't show up at his doorstep. But somebody sent that invitation, and our logo is not a bird, folks. It's not an angel. It is a dove. The next person tells me that's a bird. You're lucky your parents are watching. Take your boots off. And so, because somebody took time to sit down, I don't know if you think this is a small deal or not. Their lives are forever changed. You probably wouldn't even be married today, and neither would you. Both of you come, God and your mom filled you with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. Here you are serving God. Because somebody, and what did they do? We don't know everybody that's dying under the weight of their cross, but God does. And when those addresses were being filled out, God knew. And he made sure that mailer went to that house. And the first time they came, I didn't know, and nobody knew but them, that he was dying and only had months maybe left to live. the importance of the interruption is that somebody is overwhelmed and somebody is collapsing under the weight of life. And God needs to interrupt us in our schedules to reach them. I believe with all of my heart, if just a group that's here tonight wouldn't, now I'm going to say this. I'm not labeling anybody, but I'm going to say it, generally speaking. Wouldn't be a bunch of arrogant, pig-headed, self-righteous, my life is the only thing that matters people. And we would say, God, you would go home. I don't know what to pray for, Pastor. I don't pray because I don't know what to pray for. Lay him on a chair. Pray. Weep over these cards. I promise you, God will direct them to the right person. I promise you, there will be visitors that show up that are in their last leg. Now, I didn't mean for it to go that direction. I'm done. I meant to talk about each other because it's important that we take care of each other. It's important that we are willing to pick each other's cross up. I guess what I'm going to ask you, to please pray and say, God, this upcoming year, I'm asking you to please pray this. Lord, whenever somebody's ready to fall under the weight of their cross, you have to lead me to them. You have to lay them on my heart. You do know if you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you think of Hannah. I should call Hannah. You do know that there's a reason for that, right? You do know that God is putting her on your heart. You might not know the reason because she just comes. I just saw her. She's, nothing can be wrong. She looked happy, but you don't know. Would you stand with me? Can we pray together? We had a family once. Maybe God will let them see this video. Their daughter got some type of chemical burn and she wound up in Cleveland. She was in the hospital, I think about 7 days, maybe 6 days. In those 7 or 6 days, I made 3 or 4 trips to Cleveland. Would you know they were offended that I didn't come more? But that's just the after, the whatever you want to call it. That came out afterwards. But I remember her telling me, you know, I wish more people would have come. And so I've decided from now on, when someone's in the hospital, I'm going to make it my priority to go visit them because I know how it feels. Now, the church did a pretty good job in that situation. She never followed through. Now they're backslidden in the world. God took care of their child. We were there. You got to give back. Freely you've received, freely give. You got to give back. You won't know joy until somebody shows up. If I were you, I'd write my name on these cards. And I'd say, when you get here, look for Kenny. Ask for Kenny. I want to greet you and make sure you feel comfortable. I'd write something like that on the cards. I mean, are we so busy in life that we don't even have time to do that? I'm not saying we don't. I'm just asking. I'd like to pray. Father, I love you. I repent, God, for the times that I have not stopped. That I wasn't willing to be a Simon. Lord, I pray over all of these Christmas invites because there are people out there in this world that are collapsing under the weight of life. Lord, would you touch every single card that's handed out? Would your presence, God, be in that piece of paper, that when those individuals pick them up, whoever they might be, it doesn't matter if it's just one person, I pray the Holy Ghost would draw them here. And then may we get used to being the Simon. Lord, just journeying about our day, but we're willing to let you interrupt our day because we realize the importance of the interruption is greater than we can even imagine, because you know what the human eye cannot see. In Jesus' precious name, would you worship the Lord for a couple minutes while they sing? Hallelujah.
And great. Sing. Except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I have nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I have nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. God, we just thank you. God, I ask that you would be with us tonight, Jesus. And God, I pray that you would just burden our hearts for the lost, Lord. God, that we would just take this message serious. Lord, we need you. God, just help us tonight, Jesus. Lord, I ask that you would just be with us as we go over in our time of fellowship. And I pray that you would bless the food. And that you would just be with us this evening. Keep us safe as we go home, Lord. We thank you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. In Jesus' name.